Hi guys, just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, my fabulous friends. How are you today? How is this lifey life finding you? I hope you are well. I'm doing pretty well. Hanging in there. Summer is starting. Kids are only in school for a couple more days. So looking into hectic summertime, but I really do enjoy it. And so I don't know. I hope this day finds you well wherever it finds you. So today we're going to talk about a really, really important topic, one that is very, very close to my heart, because the concept of trauma responses and the concept of understanding ourselves more deeply, our motivations and our triggers, is probably the most powerful, profound life hack I have ever experienced. And I don't want to minimize it by using that kind of popular phrase, life hacks. Let's just say tool, life tool. Because, you know, we walk around this earth thinking that we just are who we are. This is how I am. This is how I react to things. This is the kind of person I am. I'm just shy. I'm just intimidated. I'm just a people pleaser. I'm just a person who can't deal with conflict. I'm just a person who is uncomfortable in social situations. I'm just a person who is empathic and other people's energy affects me a lot. And this is not to say that there isn't a huge factor of being born highly sensitive or being born empathic or whatever nature that we're born with, but it's so much more complicated than that. And the delicacies in our personality are so nuanced. So we're going to talk all about that today, because I really think that so much healing resides in foregoing the shame of feeling like we're just a certain way and something's wrong with us, and embracing that there are reasons, solid reasons, for the way we act and respond to life. And when we start to normalize that and become more connected and more understanding and empathic to ourselves, that can be really healing. So that is going to be our topic today. Just a few brief announcements prior to that. The Omega Institute retreat, my Omega Institute retreat, which is August 1st through the 6th, is live and on sale. If you're interested in coming, I would sign up as soon as possible. It is starting to fill. And more importantly, even than my retreat, which I have some room in that, it's that Omega starts to fill, because they have housing. This is like an incredible campus. And when you're there, you are living there and there's evening activities. It's like, it's seriously like going to sleepaway camp. Like, you have your retreat during the day with like amazing, like farm to table food, this organic buffet of food. And then at night, I'm getting too excited. It's just really fun at night, because there's like live music and there's, you know, storytellers or people who are sharing a bit of their craft. I'm just, okay, my whole body is like trembling. I'm not full of shit right now. That's how excited I get to go there. So anyway, if you want to come and join us, Ruthie Lindsay will be joining us. Ruthie and I just did an incredible live on Instagram last night. If you're looking to rewatch it and learn more about what we're doing at Omega, just go to at Ruthie Lindsay, R-U-T-H-I-E-L-I-N-D-S-E-Y, on Instagram, and it is on her IGTV tab. You can watch that. And also all my other guest instructors will be back. If you're looking to see a little bit about the experience, the video from last year, or actually 2 years ago, because last year is gone and, you know, never existed, is on my, I think it's on my resources tab of my website. And it's also on my Instagram feed at Nicole Sachs LCSW. So if you are interested in learning more, coming and spending time with us live and in person, sharing the energy in the room of that incredible experience, I really hope you come. I'm really excited for it, as you can tell. Okay. So there's that. And I also just want to remind you, if you have not yet heard me talk about the Curable app, they are a sponsor for this podcast. And thank you to Curable, because I need the support in order to carry this message to the global community. And I couldn't think of a better partner than Curable. It is an app. It is in your at your fingertips, in your phone, on your device, available to you anytime, day or night. There are guided meditations. There are writing exercises. There is so much excellent explanation of the brain science behind chronic pain. It's the first app that ever was created for chronic pain recovery. And people all over the world, hundreds of thousands of people are using Curable and seeing incredible results. I've been interviewed on their podcast, which is called Like Mind, Like Body. One of my favorite interviews, and I'm once again, not full of shit. I only say the truth. One of my favorite interviews I've ever done was with Laura at Curable. I went to their offices literally weeks before the shutdown. It was February of 2019 or 2020. And it was just an incredible conversation. We had so much fun and I felt like on fire. You know, sometimes when you're doing something and you just feel sort of like, you know, you're in the flow, like, you know, you're saying exactly what you want to say and you're not like stumbling over your words or struggling to find your thoughts. That's how I felt when I was interviewed on Curable because I was so in the flow with their message and the energy of their space. So I highly recommend it. So if you're interested in taking advantage of Curable for yourself, just go to www.getcurable.com/Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E, for 50% off your first year's membership. That's getcurable.com/Nicole. All right. So let's move on to these trauma responses. So as I'm talking to you, I'm going to open up my Instagram because what I do every day is I post every day. And oftentimes, my most popular posts are my posts about trauma responses because my contention about human beings, and always has been, and I wrote it in 2012 when I wrote my first edition of The Meaning of Truth, which is my book, we all just want to be forgiven. And before you launch into any sort of quick reaction to that sentence, because some people are like, well, why should I be forgiven? I haven't done anything wrong. You know, especially those of us who have experienced capital T trauma. But just pause for a moment and like kind of listen to that sentence. We all just want to be forgiven. We all just want to be accepted. We all just want to be loved. We all just want to be included. We all just want to be embraced. And the word forgiveness, if you kind of just kind of cool down about it, because I know that it's such a trigger word, and realize when we are children and we are mistreated, abused, left out, bullied, ignored, neglected, discarded, forsaken, we feel like it's our fault, even though it is decidedly not. 99.999% of the time, we feel as children that it is our fault. So as we grow up, we get defensive because we want to defend that little kid inside. So when it occurs to us, this notion, which I don't even think often comes to the surface, but when subconsciously it occurs to us that we are all so hungry to be forgiven, we get defensive and angry. And we're like, I don't need to be forgiven for anything. I was abused. And that is true. And I understand. I am you. I understand. But one of the greatest revelations I've had, and I talk about it on this podcast from time to time, is years after my father's death, my father was my primary, let's call him abuser. I still struggle to use any words like that. But you know what? It was an emotional abusive situation because of the way he interacted with me and my sweet little soul. And it was about him and not me. So that to me is the definition of abuse. So he died and I was distraught, but also full of conflict because also his death was a bit of a relief for me because he and I had a really, really tough time. And years after his death, as I grieved and I moved through the process of not only grieving his loss, but grieving all the little deaths in me, all the losses I had had over years and years of thinking that I was a bad girl or I was a disappointment or I was falling short or I was ruining his life with my failings. So all those little deaths, and I was mourning and grieving them all and trying to find my way. Who am I? Who am I in all this? One of my greatest healings was I was all by myself and I had been through a bit of an emotional experience and I was in tears. And I just started saying, "Dad, please forgive me. Please forgive me for being such a disappointment, being such a disgrace, being such a lazy kid that couldn't meet your standards." And although, of course, I, at the age of, 40, however old I was, didn't need to be forgiven, but at the age of 8, I did. And that little girl inside of me was still suffering, and I was still dragging her angst and her discontent and her sadness around, oftentimes dragging it around in my physical body in the form of anxiety or symptoms. I realized she needed to be forgiven, and she is me. And on my knees, I cried and I begged him for his forgiveness from her. In a place of love, surrounded by the love and understanding of my adult self, knowing that this is what I need to move on. And it freed me. It freed me in such a profound way, because we all just want to be forgiven, all the little parts of ourselves. So anyway, when I look at my Instagram posts and I look at my trauma response posts, which blow up every time, I'll post things that I think are super profound. I'm like, "Wow, Nicole, that one was a good one." And like, yeah, people will like it. But I posted trauma response posts and thousands of people like it within, short period of time. So I know that it's hitting a really important nerve, a nerve that needs to be hit in us. And I really think the reason that my trauma response posts get such attention is because deep down, whether we know it or not, we all just want to be forgiven. And when we start to understand ourselves and why we act the way we act and why we carry on in life and why we enter into certain relationships and why we act the way we act in those relationships, why we feel the way we feel around our parents and our siblings and our families in general, the kind of way we show up at work, the kind of way we parent, the kind of friends we are. When we start looking at ourselves, the primary reaction to that when we feel like we fall short is shame, because we think we should be better. We think we should be bigger and better and different and more able to handle things. And so when we realize, when we're awakened to the fact that perhaps this is just a trauma response, and perhaps it's not our fault, and perhaps this is an incredibly natural and expected human result of being treated in a certain way, or having to sustain your sanity in certain environments that are very chaotic and upsetting and terrifying, the shame is drained from that response, from that way that you show up in the world, and you can start to forgive yourself or ask for the forgiveness that you need. And just remember, all my theories are built around the fact that you never have to discuss this stuff with another person. If you don't want to, you can still heal. That's why journal speak is a personal practice. It is cultivating the relationship between you and you. It is deepening and forming and connecting this bridge between all these parts of yourself that you had no idea. First of all, you had no idea needed to be accessed in order to heal. We just don't always know that that's even necessary, especially when we're suffering physically. When our emotions and our anxiety are manifesting physically, we don't know that is the way to get there. And we also don't know how. So often people even tell me they read Dr. Sarno, who is my mentor and who taught me everything I know and who I worked with intimately for years. And people say, "I read Sarno," but then I'm like, what the hell am I supposed to do next? So my whole role on this planet, except for loving the shit out of my kids and my dog, is to teach you what to do next. And so journal speak and the journal speak practice. And if you are new to the work, just click on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, click on the resources tab, start this podcast from the beginning, go to my YouTube channel and listen to the Healing Yourself series. You'll figure it out. But journal speak is a personal experience. And when your brain and your nervous system are alerted that your repressed emotional world and all these little parts of you, all these crying little kids in the background, that they can be heard and loved and embraced and seen and integrated, the pain signals stop firing. Time after time after time, people who have either met me or worked with me in the past or done my online courses or just listened to my podcast and read my book and done the work on their own or come to one of my retreats, whatever, they write to me and they say, I was disabled. I was literally disabled in chronic pain, chronic stomach issues, fibromyalgia, migraines, any sort of chronic structural aches, whatever. I mean, the pelvic pain, anxiety, and the physical manifestations of anxiety. I have done this work and I am free. And there's a difference between being free and being free of pain, because there literally is no cure for human pain. There's no cure for the human condition. So you will feel pain. You will get a headache. You'll wake up and your back will be stiff. You'll, you know, raise your arm to get a plate and you'll feel something in your neck and you'll go, uh-huh, yeah, I see what's happening here. There's a lot of big stuff going on. Let me take to the page. Let me take to my meditation practice. And I will promise you that if you do this work with belief and patience and kindness for yourself, little by slowly, you will see what I see in thousands and thousands, and probably at this point, millions of people around the world. So why does it matter to know our trauma responses? Well, it matters because we are all just a bunch of confused kids walking around and bumping into each other, and we are so lost on why we do the things we do. So like I said, let me pull up some of these posts and just take a couple of them, and we're going to talk about that you are not your trauma response. Now, your trauma response is affecting your life. Your trauma responses are affecting your life. Your trauma responses are real. They are legitimate. They are understandable. You are forgiven, my love, from me. And trust me, take it. Just take it. Why not, right? If you need belief, borrow mine. If you need forgiveness, borrow mine, because I have been through the gamut. I really have. And I have come out the other side really, really clear on that forgiving ourselves is possible. And this is how we do it. We do it by understanding ourselves. So let me scroll through and see the first one that hits my eye. Okay. Panicking when the people in your life don't honor their word is a trauma response. And what's really fantastic about me when I come up with these trauma responses is they are all personal. Every single one of the ones that I write about on my Instagram, I have experienced and continue to experience to some level, because we never get completely rid of our personalities. And so, I can speak with such intimacy and with such authenticity about them. So panicking when people don't honor their word is a trauma response. If you were raised with people who did not show up for you consistently, who did not say what they meant and mean what they say, you are raised to panic when your needs aren't met, not because you're unreasonable, not because you're overreacting, not because you're paranoid, because you are reacting to something that was born and bred in you through your nature and your nurture, where you don't feel like you can count on people for really important needs. When you're a little kid and someone forgets to pick you up at school, that's traumatizing. When you're a little kid and your parents say, "Don't worry, you know, I'll go grocery shopping on Thursday. We'll have food." And Friday comes around and you wake up and you come downstairs and there's no food. That's traumatizing. When you are just wanting to like live your life and just have some semblance of peace, and you walk through the living room and your mother is drunk and she screams at you and tells you, you know, that you screwed everything up, or that, you know, that you failed to do what you need to do, or whatever. That's traumatizing. This is unpredictable, chaotic, neglectful, and abusive behavior. And I also want to always reiterate, trauma is not just capital T trauma. Of course, it is capital T trauma. Like, for example, if you were severely abused in any fashion, if you were neglected, if you were exposed to atrocities like war or like racism or like any number of things that is truly traumatic in the capital T sense of the word, yes, yes, of course, that is trauma. And little t trauma, all the things I talk about, even things that might look on the surface like, oh, you're just being sensitive. What's the big deal? So I forgot to pick you up at school a couple times. So, you know, I didn't always say, do what I said I was going to do. So yeah, you know, daddy erupted his temper. Big deal. You have it better than most people. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. This is so important for you to understand. Little t trauma, living with, even if you were loved, living with parents that were unpredictable or angry or shaming or focused on your appearance all the time or said, we don't talk about things outside the family, made you keep secrets. This is trauma. And there's tons of examples. I'll never think of them all in one podcast. But not – so when you panic – so let's talk about how that one trauma response might manifest as a grown-up. So let's say when you were a kid – let's use me because why not? So when I was young, my parents, like I said, it was little t trauma. I wasn't severely abused or neglected, but there were a lot of times where I felt like I couldn't count on my parents to either make good decisions or to uphold me feeling safe, you know, around money, around moving a lot, around my father's drinking, around my father's explosive temper, really, really embarrassing and shameful the way he had no filter and no consciousness or self-consciousness about erupting in public, erupting and saying incredibly inappropriate things that I won't repeat because it's things I would never utter. Shaming me, screaming at me, also focusing on my appearance. So lots of things. Okay. So I was raised in a way where I did not, I felt like I was incredibly lied to. My father was an epic liar. And he had so many issues, and I forgive him, honestly. He's been dead for 20 years, so it's easier to forgive a dead person. But it's taken me a while. But he was such a liar. And he was such a tortured guy. I feel such love for him. I have such compassion for him. I'll tell you a story in a second about my compassion for him that was really moving for me. But anyway, I didn't trust. And so when I was like in my 20s and 30s, before I woke up, I knew about the chronic pain stuff and I had done some of the Sarna work, but I had not done the real work. I understood Sarna. I had been exposed to his work. And if you're interested in my full story, you can either read my book, The Meaning of Truth, or go back to the beginning of this podcast and hear my story. But in my 20s, I had been exposed to Sarna and I was able to manage my pain and have it go away for a period of time because I understood the brain science, but I had not done the deeper work. So I was still completely asleep in many ways. And if people did not honor their word, if people told me they were going to be somewhere and they were 5 to 10 minutes late, if people told me we'll get together next Thursday and then they had to cancel or they didn't show up, or when I tell you I would panic, my heart would beat, I would go into fight or flight. I would feel complete despair. And anytime our reactions are bigger than the moment, we know that we're in a trauma response. And I'm not saying it's cool for someone to blow you off or it's fair for someone to be late when you value your time or whatever. But the panic I felt, had I been awake enough to touch into it, and you are awake enough, by the way, if you're listening to my words right now, if you were compelled to click on this podcast in 23 minutes and you're still listening to it, you are awake enough. Had I been awake enough, I might have been able to take the temperature of the situation and know that this is a bigger reaction. Like, my body is going into a panic. This is not fitting for the level of wrong, if we're going to say wrong, that has been done to me. And now I understand that when we are in a trauma response, we are not responding to the moment. The moment is just a trigger, and the trigger is bringing us back to a time that we felt unsafe in a very profound way. Feeling like our basic needs, food, clothing, shelter, love, you know, basic care, and community were not being fulfilled. And that is something that lives in us. Our issues are in our tissues. Our trauma gets stored. And then it comes up when our brain and our nervous system feel that we need it to keep us safe and alive. And that is what's happening with all chronic pain and conditions. And that is what's happening with crippling anxiety and depression. And that's what's happening. And so that's one trauma response. That's one. Here, let's see if I can pick another one so we have a bit of more complexity to this podcast. Making excuses for the way people mistreat you is a trauma response. So, how do we get by? How do we survive when we're little and we feel like everything we're doing must be because we are less than or failures or disappointments or unacceptable, you know, because that's what kids decide. If we're being mistreated as children, our first go-to is, well, I must deserve it. Whether or not you want that, that's what happens with kids. And so if someone's mistreating us as a child, there is a shame that becomes deeply embodied, often unconsciously, that we deserve it and we're bad. So when you get older, that lives on. And unless we are awake and aware and connected to our trauma responses, when other people mistreat you, you will make excuses for them. Oh, he's just having a bad day. Oh, you know, he's always like that when he drinks. He's so nice when he's not. Oh, well, you know, he's really busy. Oh my goodness, his work, you have no idea. Oh my God, am I just saying all men? I did not mean that. That one, okay. Freudian slip. Women mistreat each other as well. And so the point is that it is very natural, normal, understandable, and you should have great self-compassion for the fact that yes, of course we make excuses for people when they mistreat us. It's a trauma response if we were raised that way. Having said that, it's not serving you because it's continuing to allow whatever capital A or lower A abuse is happening. And that is not okay anymore. You know, if we're here together, if we're awake and aware and here together, we know that simply is not okay anymore. And living through our trauma responses is not, and it's not serving us. And you are not your trauma response. You are simply a person who's doing your best to get through. Let's do one more. Thinking that everyone is mad at you all the time is a trauma response. My good God. I do this all the time. But see, what's great about self-knowledge and doing what we're all doing here together is once you start to really figure yourself out, it lasts so short. So like, for example, I think everyone's mad at me all the time because I always felt like a disappointment to my dad. It's just clear, 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 clear. And also, if we're looking at outside of my family dynamic, I changed schools after second grade, after fifth grade, after sixth grade, after ninth grade, and then of course to college. So I changed schools a lot. And when you change schools and you always have to keep reintroducing yourself. Oh, and I also changed camps several times. And so when you keep reintroducing yourselves to people, oftentimes people will not like you or reject you or bully you just for whatever freaking reason. Oftentimes it has nothing to do with you. But in any case, for all of that input, I decided that I was bad. And I was wrong, and I was ugly, and I was fat, and I was a disappointment, and I was gross, and I was rejected, and blah, 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 as a kid. And so when somebody else is in a bad mood, which 99.9999% has nothing to do with you, just PS, I would decide that I did, oh shit, they're mad at me. I must have done something wrong. And that would live in me for days, months, years in the past, but now that I'm awake and aware, I do understand that is a trauma response. So I can feel that energy. I can press the pause and I can say, oh, I see. I'm having a trauma response right now. Got it. Okay. All right, cool. But I don't have to any longer be a complete victim of my unconscious processes. And that's what we're going for here, guys. That's what we are going for. You are not your trauma response. You are simply a person who is operating in perfect alignment. You've been treated a certain way. You have a certain nature that you were born with. So perhaps if you were very sensitive or very empathic, that like really soaked in like a sponge. And then you are reenacting those protective mechanisms throughout your lifetime. And let me just say one thing to kind of put a bow on this whole thing. So this whole podcast is about chronic pain and conditions and the human experience and the human way of processing our grief, shame, sadness, fear, anger, rage, embarrassment, regret, etc. When you have trauma responses that are being lived but not understood, it requires a tremendous amount of emotional repression because you are constantly being triggered into ugly and negative self-talk, even if it's unconscious, and your brain and your nervous system perceive that kind of self-talk to be a greater predator than your physical pain. So that kind, those kind of thoughts and feelings and self-talk will get repressed out of necessity. This is all brain science. This is not me being a hippy-dippy therapist. This is all brain science. It will get repressed out of necessity. It is an unconscious and reflexive pattern and response. And what will be felt through the body, in your felt body, what Eckhart Tolle calls your pain body, will be your symptoms. This is period, the end, what is happening to you and to all of us. And so in light of that, when we learn our trauma responses, when we understand ourselves, when we come into alignment with the reasons that we act the way we act, and we can press the pause as our grown-up selves and practice self-compassion and practice understanding and integration of those parts of ourselves, the emotional repression is no longer necessary to that extent, which in itself makes the chronic pain so much easier to deal with because you no longer have to be journal speaking at, you know, 200 miles an hour in order to continue to excavate that reservoir of all those feelings because it's not getting dumped into to the extent that it used to. So all of this is so important. You know, I just want to say, guys, oh, and I never told the story about my dad, and I don't have time to tell it today because I'm on a schedule, unfortunately, but I'm going to tell that story. You know what? If you are fans of my IGTV series, I'm going to write this down and remember, I'm going to do next week's, so it'll be sometime in the second week of June or beginning of the second week in June, I'm going to do my IGTV, my I Am Evidence on self-compassion, and I will talk about, and just in general, compassion, and I'll talk about the story with my dad because I don't have time today. But anyway, if you are looking to understand yourself and to integrate and to feel that kind of self-compassion, this is such a great way to do it. And then you don't have so much emotional repression. And then, of course, the end goal, which is always the end goal, is to answer the only question that is important in the affirmative, which is, how do you feel today? How do you feel today, guys? Because the truth is, regardless of what any doctor says, any treatment says, any Western medical model says, any diagnosis says, the only thing that matters is how do you feel today? And if you can wake up, even if you have spondylolisthesis like I do and a huge, terrible spinal abnormality that every doctor thought was the cause of my pain, if you can wake up every morning and say, you know what? I feel great. I'm going to go running. I'm going to carry my kid's heavy suitcase up the stairs. I'm going to let my 95-pound daughter jump into my arms. If I can say that, it doesn't matter how my spine looks because my spine was never the reason for my pain. All right, my loves. This has been so fun. I love talking to you guys like this. I just love it. And I love you. And I know you can do this. Remember that if you want to take advantage of can't give their stuff away, 50% off year of Curable, the wonderful Curable app that is a sponsor of this podcast, go to www.getcurable.com/Nicole, NICOLE. And this has been the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.